Monday, June 25th, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. So I'm going to do my best to make today a quick show for you because I'm actually preparing for a couple of upcoming interviews as well as working with some new volunteers we recently got. And really just because my shows have been running a little bit long lately, and I'm going to do my best to keep these down to actually being concise like I promise. I'm really going to go over just a few important stories today and how they relate. But I want to begin first by touching on something quickly that was very interesting to me. And it was simply an image that I came across online that essentially was an image of a sign that was in a window of a store that basically said, "Hate has no business here." And then went on to say, "We respect women and Black lives and LGBT community members and on, you know, immigrants, refugees, on and on." And then it says, "All are welcome," with a big multicolored heart. And then below it, it says, "Except conservatives, Christians, white males, right to lifers, gun owners, all these people can go F themselves." And which I immediately laughed at because it's inherently contradictory, but at the same time was like, yeah, that's probably true. I thought that was a real sign because the reality is, that does happen. I mean, there's this all-inclusive mentality of these people on this side of the false two-party divide that yet have this inherent hate for people that, you know, you voted for Trump, well, you're a Nazi, right? I mean, it's this inherently contradictory stance where they claim to be all-inclusive, yet clearly have a lot of pent-up hatred just for random people they know nothing about simply because of they're on the other side. And I want to talk about this sign for a few quick points. Really, the first one is simply that I ended up searching and finding the real sign, which didn't actually say those things at the bottom. And it shows you how easily we can be deceived today in the world of the internet, and how quickly these things can be manipulated just to fan the flames. And the other thing is that I pointed out before, that this willingness that we have, not all of us, but a lot of people in particular stuck in this two-party divide, they basically are willing to lie, and almost that they've been conditioned to think that it's okay to lie, willing to actually bend the truth, like we see in this current immigration issue, people using false images, because they feel that they're on the right side, whatever that means. They feel that they're justified. They're on the righteous side. So if I tweak the truth a little bit to do something that I know is right, then it's okay, which is not okay. That's completely the backward way of looking at the world, but that's part of the conditioning of this false two-party divide. But we've been conditioned, a lot of people, to think that it's okay to misrepresent things as long as you're feeding towards some arbitrary concept of what you believe to be the right side. And this is a very deceptive concept today that a lot of people buy into. Again, the immigration, very, very big point in this. And really the last couple points here are that it's due diligence is so very important. It took me about 30 seconds to seek out and find the actual sign that was manipulated to serve this agenda. And most people just don't even take the time. They see it, they believe it. Boom, it's done, they move forward. It took me very, very short period of time to find out that this sign was in fact manipulated. And it's really all about feeding the divide and conquer tactic, which we talk about a lot, but it's very, very important to see that and how much effort is going into keeping us arguing amongst ourselves while the same things carry out all around us that I point out on a regular basis. And a lot of our regular viewers are well aware of this fact. But every day we get new viewers to this channel that are actively saying, "Oh my God, I didn't realize this was actually happening." As hard as that may be to believe for a lot of us that have been watching this for a very long time, there are still a lot of people out there today that are still slowly waking up from what's going on. So we can't get caught in this in our own echo chamber of whether we think it's truth or not. Without realizing there are plenty of people that are still waking up to the very surface level things that we think are just common knowledge. So this is all about waking new people up. So it's all about patience and understanding that we're here to spread the truth, to spread the reality, the facts outside of the division, the two-party BS. We're here to spread the truth and help get this in front of people who are still trapped there. So be patient, plant the seed in every possible way you can, and use little things like this to show them that this is how you're being divided. This, they're using this to get between you and your neighbors and your friends and your family members to keep you from paying attention to the larger points. Okay, for the first story of the day, coming from antimedia.com, Israeli minister warns of new war on Gaza. Israel's justice minister has warned that the government might launch another war against the already impoverished and illegally occupied Gaza Strip because Palestinians continue to fly incendiary kites over Israeli farms. Now, they have the nerve to actually deem this kite terror. With all that we see going on, this just ridiculous gaping chasm between flying incendiary kites to this overt, extremely militarized force taking aggressive action against the Palestinians. Now, it's not to say that these kites are not damaging. The reality is that these Palestinians have taken to flying these kites with Molotov cocktails attached, which do indeed cause damage on these crops. But it just comes back to a proportionate response here. We're talking about a wildly disproportionate response to people who arguably have the right to try to defend themselves against what's happening to them. It's all, in a lot of ways, being concocted to create another justification to carry out the very same things we've been seeing carrying out over the last so many months, and much longer before that. But interestingly enough, Israel has stated that they have developed the Iron Dome anti-missile system and are indeed able to develop a new system to take down these Palestinian kites. Israel claimed that the Palestinian children who are flying the kites are terrorists involved in terrorism. There are indeed children also just flying kites as acts of protest, but the kites with the Molotov cocktails, again, comes back to the concept that these people are being oppressed. Now, you can not like their methods of trying to fight back, but it's the same concept of them throwing rocks at the soldiers and being shot in the head. They're trying to find any ways, any means within their power to fight back against this oppressive, tyrannical occupation of their rightful territory. And those are simply the facts. Regardless of their ability to stop this kite terror, as they deem it, Israel is now saying they might be forced to launch a large-scale military operation in the Gaza Strip. Literally said, quote, "I do not want to launch an operation, but there is a good chance that we will have to, with no other option but to go in so that we can create durable deterrence." Which they're blatantly saying, this, we have to go in to do this to stop them, or rather anyone else in the future, from standing against us. Basically saying we're going to bomb random areas within the Gaza Strip just to show people that they can't do this. That has nothing to do with a response to the people doing it. They're going to bomb areas in the Gaza Strip as a durable deterrence from having it happen in the future. I mean, this is wildly illegal in regard to international law and human rights, but always this just doesn't matter. The UN seems to never do anything about it. The United States blindly allows it to happen, and rather willfully allows it to happen, and vetoes anything that might happen against them in the United Nations. It's very, very frustrating to see, but there's a reason I continue to point this stuff out, because it's a grotesque display of the hypocrisy going on the world stage today. And it's something we have to continue to highlight. They added that those who launch burning kites from Gaza should be shot regardless of their age, saying, quote, "Age does not matter. They are terrorists and the danger they create must be prevented." The Palestinians in the Gaza Strip continue to point out that their protests are entirely legitimate under international law. To call them terrorists, they insist, is not only inaccurate, but also an attempt by the Israelis and their supporters, chiefly the United States, to deceive the world about the nature of the conflict in occupied Palestine. I would say it's a fruitless effort at this point, as the vast majority of the people I see in regard to the United Nations and many other independent organizations are very clearly calling out what Israel's doing. And I think hopefully we're going to see some eventual action here. But I mean, as we've seen in the past, their argument would be that it probably won't happen. But the more we call it out, the more we point it out, it's going to be harder and harder to allow this to continue. And it's just horrific to see. So spread this around. This is a story that needs to be focused on as they continue to basically murder innocent people in the Gaza Strip due to kites being flied over that they admittedly are able to stop. Moving on to the next story, coming from ZeroHedge.com, Ben Rhodes admits Obama armed jihadists in Syria in bombshell interview. So this is an interesting article I wanted to touch on today, not because it gives us insight into information we weren't already aware of, but rather because it highlights a few interesting points, one of which is that politicians lie to us, that the government lies to us on a consistent, constant basis. And whether Ben Rhodes, in this case, in his kind of casually admitting this was an accident or intentional, the point is that eventually these things slip out down the line well after the fact, and most people miss it. But this is something that is pretty well acknowledged today, despite the fact that they still deny it. But it shows you how constantly we're lied to about what's actually going on, especially while it's happening, which should make us stand back and question what's happening today and how clearly we're most likely being lied to about everything being done today. And 10 years, 15 years down the line, an interview with somebody in Trump's administration today will casually slip that it was all a big lie. And we have to continue to see this pattern. This happened well before the Obama administration. Now, in this case, Ben Rhodes, who served as the longtime deputy national security advisor at the White House under Obama, was in an interview with The Intercept where this information all came out. Now, this whole article basically boils down to the fact that Ben Rhodes, after being pressed about it more than once, it basically acknowledged that they knowingly armed the very extremists that they'd been pretending to fight, and we continue to pretend to fight today. And that the entire premise of why the U.S. was violating both domestic and international law by illegally occupying Syria's sovereign territory was all a facade. They used ISIS and other extremists to manufacture the excuse to go in and try to overthrow yet another democratically elected leader while disgustingly claiming to fight for human rights and democracy. These are the people representing us. The article goes on to say and makes an interesting point. To our knowledge, this is the only time a major media organization has directly asked a high-ranking foreign policy advisor from the Obama administration to own up to the years-long White House support to jihadists in Syria, showing us yet again what an absurd joke the mainstream media collectively is. Because if they simply asked the real questions, the whole thing comes crashing down around them, which by default essentially means to a large degree they're all in on it, or at the very least willing to ignore what they're told is off limits, which is really the same thing. And it's also important to understand that this is not just the Obama administration, or wasn't just the Bush administration, and it's not just currently Donald Trump. It's all of them. This is the ongoing thing we touched on yesterday, this kind of, you know, invisible hand guiding all of it that goes well outside the realm of the presidential cabinet or the government of the United States. There's a larger thing at play here that's driving this agenda. Moving on to the next story coming from antiwar.com, Pentagon indefinitely suspends more war games with South Korea. The Pentagon announced on Friday that they have indefinitely suspended a number of additional war games with South Korea. The U.S. agreed to such suspensions as a part of the Trump-Kim summit deal. The Pentagon has been slowly suspending planned exercises since the summit, and North Korea has indeed frozen their nuclear program and missile testing under the deal. The Pentagon still will have a few more suspensions to announce to cover all of the upcoming drills, and that slow pace of freezing them is likely being done for political reasons to allow them to make multiple positive announcements about easing the tensions of the North Korean peninsula, which is a very positive thing. I mean, regardless of what the agenda is behind this or how they're trying to manipulate things, the simple fact that they're easing tensions in the Korean peninsula is a very positive thing. So anyone trying to bend it any other way is trying to mislead you. Now, we can discuss the agendas around all of this or whether people like Bolton and Pompeo or even if Trump is involved are going to sabotage this, because peace is not what these people want. That's very clearly demonstrated, whether you're talking about their financial connections or many number of things. But the reality here is that this is a positive step, and we have to promote that. I mean, the more we can see de-escalation in this regard is a very positive step. But I will always continue to say that we will see something happen. Something will come up that's going to cause the people in here trying to pull the strings of war to allow this to continue. So be prepared for that. But this is a positive step and needs to be acknowledged as such. So hooray for de-escalation in the Korean Peninsula. Moving on to the next story coming from naturalblaze.com. California water rationing, Agenda 21 style new law passed. California recently passed new legislation, SB 606 and AB 1668, regarding personal use of water, i.e. only 55 gallons of water per day per person. We recently touched on this, and I shouldn't say I'm shocked to see it passed, because I pretty much assumed that it would, but nonetheless, it's still a very shocking thing to see passed. As I understand it, it doesn't take effect immediately, and it will be taking effect years down the line. But it's pretty alarming to see this take place. The idea that, I mean, for me, this comes back to the concept that we're restricting and limiting civilian water use while allowing corporations to pump hundreds of thousands of gallons of water a day for next to nothing, in particular in California, specifically groups like Nestle. I mean, we've talked about the idea of Flint, Michigan, and how Nestle's doing the same thing there, and all these different places across the world, or rather across the country. But it's disgusting to see this overt capitalism where we're just saying, oh, here, go ahead, companies, take all the water you need so we can profit while we limit the use of our civilian population to 55 gallons a day. While we're talking about showers and laundry and flushing and families, it is absolutely absurd. While they're going to be fined if they go over this allotted amount. It's truly Orwellian. And the Agenda 21 aspect really does have to be considered. For those that are unfamiliar with that, I'll make sure and put some notes in the show notes for you, but it's pretty alarming when you understand how this plays into these concepts. And the more we're shuffled toward the center of these ultra-populated areas, the more the control they have over us. And this is only going to continue to make water a more valuable asset, which is exactly why we're seeing people like these companies continue to buy up water rights and control the use of the water. It's a very alarming thing to see happen. And this is something that Californians should absolutely not be okay with. And it really shows you the grotesque connection between these corporations and our politicians that are supposed to represent us and rather work for these multi huge conglomerate companies that are taking over everything. It's absurd. And I think this is something that people need to be marching through the streets about. And again, I sadly always think not that really won't come to do anything, but what it will do is draw attention to the issue from people who might be able to do something. But this is a horrific step, and I think this needs to be discussed. Moving on to the next story and the final story of the day, activism without inner work is impotent. Another great article by Caitlin Johnstone that I'm going to end with by reading a little excerpt from that I really want you to take a moment, whether you have a spiritual edge to you or not, and try to embrace what she's trying to convey in this article. And I highly recommend that you go and read this for yourself, as well as many of the other topics that I discuss. I always recommend you go and read these for yourself and come to your own conclusions. But in this article specifically, I think it's very important to what's going on today and really connects with something I think a lot of people are trying to wrap their minds around. Unless you've got a very clear sense for what's true and what matters, and when you're being manipulated, your conceptual framework for understanding the world is almost a matter of luck of the draw. You were born into a particular family with a particular worldview. You have a set of life experiences which shapes your ideology, and that ideology forms a perceptual filter through which you consume information. That filter dictates what your media consumption habits will look like, what you'll take in as true, what you'll reject as false, and what you'll overlook or omit. You might get very lucky and coincidentally stumble onto a worldview which happens to accurately reflect what's going on in the actual world around you. But before long, that world will change, and your habitual relationship with information will necessarily lead you and reality along diverging paths. The only variable in this process, as near as I can tell, is consciousness. Individuals who have done a lot of work bringing consciousness to their mental habits and inner workings are not randomly floating about at the whims of chance in a tornado of information, but are grounded in a clear sense of which way is up. This doesn't mean that everyone who has done a lot of inner work will necessarily share the same ideology. What it does mean is that they have a much better chance of correctly figuring out when they are being told the truth, when they are being manipulated, and whether something is ultimately good or detrimental for the path they'd like to see society walk along. in a culture that is saturated with media propaganda. This is an indispensable asset for understanding the world. This matters politically because activism without inner work is impotent. If you're beholden to the whims of your unexamined mental habits, any political activism you engage in will be determined by the groupthink of the people you're surrounded by, who are generally equally unconscious, and leaders who may or may not be guided by truth and compassion. Now, I found that to be incredibly profound, and there's much more in that article that goes on in the same line of discussion. But the real point there is to understand how much we are affected by those around us and how much we are affected by the incessant propaganda we get from many other places than just the mainstream media. So for those of you that say, oh, well, I don't watch mainstream media, so I'm good, it comes from all directions, all the time, pretty much everywhere we go. And so the point she's making here is that we need to take a moment. And she's not just saying go out and meditate. There's a lot of different ways that you can reach this kind of concept, but meditating is a fantastic way to do it. But to work inward and try to understand how our brains actually work and really grasp how little control we actually have over the way our brain works. And then use that to apply to what we see on a regular basis. And really, as I always say, begin to use that to grow beyond this absurd, pretty overt, once you begin to recognize it, two-party deception that is meant to drive us apart from each other, meant to keep us divided and distracted, while all the terrible things we always discuss get carried on without so much as a peep because we're too busy arguing with each other. So check all this stuff out. Make sure you read into this stuff yourself and really digest what she's trying to say, because it is more important than ever today to not just begin to see through the lies, but to truly stand back and think for ourselves. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.